legislative portion of the meeting. There are no items on the consent calendar, so we'll move into discussion, and I'll turn it over to Stacey for the
Commissioner, your microphone.
Nothing on consent calendar, so I'll turn it over to Stacey for the 2023 public comment annual report.
All right. You guys all have this in front of you, I assume. Okay. So a little background for anybody listening out there. We have a system that we use here to track all of the public comments on cases, comments just about anything that we do, complaints against companies. We put that all into this system, and I produce a report monthly internally, and then also a yearly report, which is what I'm sharing with you guys today for our 2023 annual report. So I'll just go over some of the highlights, and then if you've looked through it and have any questions, you can jump in at any time or as we go. The first chart on this second page is a five-year comparison of all the contacts recorded, split out by jurisdiction. Overall, our numbers were lower than the last couple of years. I think mostly just due to we had one big citing case, but we didn't have a lot of other citing cases going on. I looked, rate cases too generate a lot of comments. MDU's electric rate case was still going on in 2023, but it started in 2022. So only part of that is captured, and we didn't have any other rate cases. So other than that, I can't pinpoint any reasons why it was down. I think a lot of it was just due to not having a lot of citing cases going on in 2023.
Mm-hmm. Although, when I look at the citing line, that's actually up significantly.
It is up. Yep.
It looks like the gas utility and electric utility numbers are kind of the ones that really dropped us quite a bit.
So our system separates these by the company. And so if you, and I don't know why this is, but it's what our docketing system does. If we have a wind farm siting case and you put that into the system, it'll put it under electric utility, not siting.
Oh, okay.
Because it identifies that company as an electric utility. So that's the kind of deceiving part of this. I can't change it. The docketing system actually does it that way. If you have a, it's the wind farm ones I noticed. The wind farms ones go into electric.
What about the gas utility down by 123? I wonder what we had. Did we have a gas rate case last
year? I was going to say, I'm assuming those were gas rate cases. Yeah, I'd have to look back at the previous years to know that.
Can't think of anything else.
So, yes. So, if we have, like, a big wind farm case, then that would have actually showed up under electric and not siting. And so, it kind of...
Thanks for explaining that.
I know. It's not the best way to compare in that. Maybe our new system will do it differently. I'm not sure, but...
And then, Stacey, the weights and measures, the non-compliance from last year that drove a bunch, and Conrad is here. Remind me what that was. Notices of non-compliance.
They sent out letters, yeah.
We sent out letters to...
Your mic, Conrad.
Thank you. Commissioners, we sent out letters to companies that had not had their devices certified, letting them know that they had lapsed and that they were now out of their certification window. And so letting them know they've got to get those scheduled to get them certified. And
then, but then they must have contacted us back.
They do contact us so that we know... There's only so many service companies out there that do devices, you know, the ones that we don't do. And so with that, there's only enough to go around. So at least if they've got an appointment, it might be a month and a half out, at least we know they've got an appointment made. So that's tracking those.
Got it. So that generated all those responses. And then I would note for this year for citing, the 226, 180 of those were related to the Summit Carbon Pipeline project, so that was the vast majority of those in that siting line. Nothing else really.
What about the 75 auction? Was that sort of during the legislative
that
session?
That was definitely driven legislatively. We had some, not as much as I was anticipating. a lot of those came after the fact. We sent out a letter in June after the session was over explaining the law changes that happened and when they were going to take effect and how that was going to affect their licenses and to reach out to Secretary of State's office. That generated quite a bit of calls. And then we again sent that same letter in October when they would have anticipated seeing their renewal from us, reminding them this is how things are going forward. And yeah. So.
And if you actually flip to page 4, which splits out the jurisdiction, you'll see the 75 auction ones there, and you can kind of scan through.
Are we still getting those, Conrad?
After the first of the year, we did have a few, maybe 5, less than 10 at this point. We're no longer, and anything that we do get, I think maybe a onesie twosie, we refer them to the Secretary of State's office.
Because that's all they're doing is registering.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. And so.
And it looks like on the report, the one specifically related to program transition, it looks like they recorded 27 of those. So, and then the majority of the other ones were about license renewals and license applications. And I do want to thank everybody in the other programs for using the system. I am starting to see more pop up in some of the other divisions that haven't used it much in the past. So I appreciate any of the directors for helping me with getting everybody to use it when they.
It is really important.
So it's good data.
And it helps us see trends. And that's the whole reason why we kind of have this system in place and the program and triggers us to talk and think about this on a regular basis. So it's really is important for staff to use it and log their calls in it.
If you go to page 3, this is the 5-year breakout that we do for the directly regulated companies. CenturyLink, Dakota Natural Gas is in there, MDU, Otter Tail, and Xcel. They were all very similar to what we see on a 5-year average if you look at the numbers. So nothing stood out to me there. They are the normal, I'd say, type of complaints that I get each year. There was no specific instance that stood out to me. Every once in a while we'll have something that generates a lot of complaints, but I didn't have anything like that happen within 2023.
CenturyLink's dynasty at winning this category continues.
Yeah, it's similar to what we had in previous. I did make a note that, because I just looked it up, out of the 32 complaints, 20 of them were due to prolonged outages. So they continued to generate complaints because of outages, not just because of like a billing complaint or something. They're actually, people who have absolutely no phone service.
By looking at that, Stacy, I know I dealt with one on CenturyLink because of the prolonged outage. What's the average? Do you know that? I mean,
the average length of the outage
for CenturyLink.
In the complaints that I received,
I think the one I dealt with, just because I got and referred to you, it was like over a week, and then they would come back. I mean, it was.
Oh, yeah. I would say the average is a couple weeks. Yeah. Because, I have some that go on months and months.
Yeah.
I will say that some of the areas in the past that we had problem areas with them have competition now. And so the problem's gone away. So I don't see some of those problem areas. There's still some, but there is competition that has moved into some of the areas. So, yeah. And the other utilities, like I said, numbers are very similar to what we always see. Usually billing or disconnect complaints.
Do staff, the new staff, get trained in how to use this?
Yep, I actually did a training session with them a couple months ago. and I was thinking about maybe having another one, and then I did some one-on-one training like with Erica when she started. And okay. The new PUD staff, they had a training that I did in here a couple months ago. The remaining pages then break it down, depending on how you want to look at it, 4 through 9 is separated by jurisdiction. So like I said before, if you want to see what those 75 auction ones were, you can kind of browse through and see what they were. And then starting on page 10, it breaks it down by company. So if you want to see specifically kind of what the contacts regarding CenturyLink were, or MDU, or any of the other recorded companies there, that's kind of interesting to look at. But
do you send this to the companies? Do, are they aware
of
calls we get? And
yes, some of them ask for it, and then normally we do a news release following up with this.
Yep.
And then when the news release goes out, some of them, they all get the news releases. Mm-hmm. So then some of them will ask for more information. Yeah, so they do.
And I know you guys do an exceptional job on, you know, when I read it, as far as referring, you know, you need to contact the company and all that, so...
Good yep, job. And then the referrals start on page 12, and then once again, those those run the gamut of anything that you can think of. But
I'm trying to remember, because it was over on auctions too, but I know I've heard of this, but what are Calcuttas?
You can describe. I've been there when they've done them, but I don't know that I can describe what it is.
As far as I, and I'm no expert, so as far as I learned, having to research this, a Calcutta auction is an auction where you actually bid on the rider.
They do it at rodeos.
Is it a rodeo? It's rodeo specific, and is it either a bull or a bronco?
I think you can pick either one. You can bet on the bull or the rider.
Yeah, you can bet on the animal or the rider. And if, you know, it's an auction to, and I don't know the method of how they do it, but it's an auction where they go out and they're, you know, enticing bids on who's going to beat who, the bull or the rider or the bronco or the rider. And I'd never heard of it until we got that one call about it. I'm like, I have no idea what even that is.
To me, it's more like betting on like a race, like a horse race, yeah. But
it's held in an auction.
But they call it an auction. So yeah, I don't really know how it works either. I've seen it done, but I've never participated. There you go. I'm not much of a gambler.
One of those questions we don't have to figure out jurisdictional determinations on anymore.
Okay. Anything else on the
Yeah, and if you guys report? Have any questions afterwards, of course, let me know. And like I said, in the past, we've done a news release, so I will work with Commissioner Haugenhoffert on a news release as portfolio holder, and we'll get that out within the next couple weeks.
Perfect.
Well done. Thanks, thank Stacey. You.
Okay. Well, good I have job. To say, I really like your monthly. It kind of keeps us current on what's going on and what's mm-hmm. going on. So
those are nice because they're not quite so lengthy as this. So you can kind of get more detailed. But I like kind of looking back at the 5 years, too, and just seeing kind of what pops out and what compares.
Yeah. Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good.
Okay, then we'll turn over to Conrad on Safe Digging Month outreach. Or did you want to? I don't know who.
No.
Okay.
I didn't know about Conrad, it.
Yeah. We didn't have a discussion.
I know.
Just a quick conversation on it. So moving forward, I do want to say about the public contact system. I found it extremely helpful, especially when I've had to go back and it's like a name that you get, like, or an issue rings in your mind, and then you can go back and say, oh, yeah, we had that 2 years ago. So it's a nice way to have consistency in how that stuff is documented. Safe Digging Month, every April is designated as Safe Digging Month, and we do receive grant funding from FEMSA for education and outreach. I just wanted to have a quick discussion with the commissioners. I know last year I brought to you the results. I think it was probably July or August or so. I brought you the results of our digital media campaign with Mabu Media Agency, running digital ads for the Safe Digging Month time period that we used. And I think the report that they provided some great information and some great data as far as how the outreach went, how many people were influenced by it. And so I wanted to have just a quick discussion with the commission on the, you know, we kind of did a hybrid model last year of we did some billboards. We did 5 billboards last year, and we did the digital media campaign through the month of April. The five billboards were up through the month of April as well. And so I would really, from my perspective, billboards, I find them to be unpredictable. We don't get any data back. We don't even know the location. We don't get to pick a location of where they're going to be. And so that's hit or miss a lot of years as far as do we get an area or do we get an area that's traveled frequently or infrequently. And I thought that we got a lot more data based on and a lot more, a better overall picture of how the media campaign went with the digital media. And so I'd like to transition fully to that for this cycle to see how that goes and look at really phasing out the billboards. But I wanted to open that up for discussion with the commission as well before just embarking on that. Just so you know, last year the billboards that we did have, we had five of them, one in Bismarck, one in West Fargo, one in Minot, one in Dickinson, and one in Williston.
Just a reminder for the digital media, we don't pay to create any new content. We actually take North Dakota One calls content that they've already produced, and we just pay for airtime. So that's kind of the nice thing about it, too, is we can piggyback onto their already created content, so we don't have to actually pay for any content
creation. Which is usually a large portion of your media.
We wouldn't have enough money to do that.
No, not at all.
And I don't think I have strong complaints on what – or strong – opinion one way or the other on this, but I do want to say, just from my own experience, I think the billboards, we can choose the locations unless they're already taken for that month, but groups I've been associated with, we've picked spots for billboards if they're not already spoken for. I'm sure there's an extra fee, you know, but
I can only speak for myself last year. The option wasn't presented by Newman to myself last year as far as where do we want to put those billboards or what's available. So, but I can ask
the question. What feedback do you have on the digital?
As far as like stakeholders?
Well, just like its value. To evaluate whether it's doing any good or not.
Right. The value is that you've got a lot more data input. You can track the number of clicks as far as who actually went to a website, who clicked on it, who actually went to how many individuals went to the 811 website based upon the ad that was presented to them. And I think that really helps us show how effective this campaign is at that point.
So, and you have that shows that you had a good results last year.
Right. Yep. They do a nice wrap up presentation, and I can follow it up. I can send you another copy of that. That gives us, you know, what websites, what were the ads posted on, which ones generated the most clicks in a geographical area in the state. So they do a really nice wrap-up report that they provide to us at the end of that.
The data gets pretty granular as far as that, and with it being the first year, it's a baseline.
Yeah.
And I would just say because we have no – I love switching. I would support going towards it because we didn't get a pick on where it was. And because of the social media and all that, we could track more. And, you know,
so, we have but a baseline. You are getting clicks and you're showing that people actually, it doesn't just get deleted or.
It generates a response.
Yeah, I know it does, but it is, I guess, like you can actually see that people are paying attention to it and getting the message.
Through their metrics, they can track those results and provide them to say how effective was our campaign, how many clicks.
I guess what I'm asking is how effective was it?
It was effective. And actually,
I know all this data is available. I just want to know how good was it and what do we have to show that it was?
We had from what I understand, and this is my first introduction into digital media, they base it off of the percentage of a click-through rate. And the click-through rate that we had was high. I don't want to say it was very high, but they looked at it and they said, you have a good click-through rate based on this ad campaign. Okay. And so I'm relying on their expertise in evaluating many campaigns and looking at them to base that, you know, determination.
And I look at that. I mean, that was good preliminary information, but we're just started. This is our baseline, so now we'll have something to compare to next year and compare the granular stuff. But based on the preliminary stuff we got, they said it was a successful campaign. So,
and how much money is it? It's a pretty small amount.
Well, we don't have a large budget with it. We've got this year. We've got $8,021 to put towards education and outreach. What I'd propose is taking, so last year we did 3,700 in the digital media. I would propose this year of putting 6,000 towards that. And then we do purchase educational materials and items that we do hand out at the state fair. So we would hold approximately the last $2,021 back for the purchase of that to restock our educational materials.
Yeah. I'm good with that.
Would you ask a question along the way before next year at this time?
Sure.
Of either a state one call or if all the state one calls do anything cumulatively. Do they keep track of violations that happen and look at the demographics? Like, is it older people who are set in their ways and, you know, grew up not having to call and things like that that do this? Is it younger people who might be more spontaneous? Is it, like, are there any demographics we should be aiming our advertising at, I guess, is my question.
Right. And I can speak to the initial demographics that we used last year were adult males between the ages of, I believe, 30 and 50, i.e. really looking to the excavator component of that.
I was going to say, just from conversations with companies and stuff, if it's a private homeowner, they're very unlikely to report a violation. So I would say that it's not happening. But if MDU has a private homeowner that hits something, most of the time they'll work with them.
Yep.
Get it fixed. Charge them what they need to fix it, but they won't report it. Contractors, they will report because they're doing a business. I would assume if they have a repeat violator that's a homeowner, they would. But I would just guess that there's a lot of them occurring that aren't being reported from private homeowners because the companies just work with them, get it taken care of, and move on. They don't report the violations.
Maybe we should be focusing this on contractors specifically. Maybe we're not doing it. I don't know.
Well, Conrad and I have talked about this, and I'm going to say a little bit from being up at the North Dakota State Fair and working that booth, and you two can either agree or disagree with me, it'd be interesting, that there's a good awareness to the 811, call before you dig. But I'm noticing, to your point, Randy, is there's gaps. I see it on homeowners when we ask them questions as far as realizing there. And then also, like, I think it is between company and personal homeowner, they're working it out amongst them. But I see a gap where we really, from that, my takeaway from up there is we need to talk, somehow get it out, the education about, if you're going to plant that tree in your backyard and it's, you know, they have to call before you dig. So I think we need to start working, you know, put some time into it. Where are our gaps where we really need to educate? Just be, not just, hey, it's call before you dig month. Remember 811, I think we have to go a little deeper. And I think we can work with our partners on that and find out what we need to do, because I'm definitely seeing the trends up at the state fair on right. People's awareness, realizing they didn't know that. So I hope we can do that.
No, I definitely agree with that. And, you know, I will say that one thing that the media agency did last year as well and can do is, based upon, you know, the geographical regions that they were pushing the marketing into, like out in like West Fargo, they pushed a lot of, you know, into the southeastern part of the state, drainage tile and building a shed for like homeowners. Like, you have to call 811 for that. And then as you got out towards the western part of the state, it had a lot to do with just other excavation activities as well. So they're kind of targeting your major excavators in those areas or the people that would be doing those things. So, but no, it's a great question, and I can certainly see if we can get some answers for that for next time. Okay.
So clear?
I got it. As I understand, we'll push to digital this year, then we'll have a nice comparison and go from there.
Okay. Then we'll move into, was there anything else for discussion? Okay. We'll move into scheduling. I would like to set up a director's meeting. It's I've put it off too long. I kind of grabbed onto a number of options, but only what applied to me. So, how about February 8th? I think they have something planned for that, though.
February 8th, which is a Thursday, works for me.
Yep, me too.
Pamela, why do you have a hold for an RC23355 on the hearing room on the 8th?
Oh, that's an informal for guys upstairs.
Okay, not with these guys. Okay.
All day?
Is that what we talked about earlier?
Well, you could say catch. Two. No?
Pardon me?
Two doesn't work.
No. But should if we have an opportunity for a time when we can actually be together, should we go somewhere else?
We could. I mean, I'm available after that band meeting.
Well, it's gonna, some of the directors are going to be in the meeting from 92.
Oh, right. Sure.
Okay, so, good point. Okay, so how about the 13th?
Oh, shoot.
I know there's some things that day, but I'm wondering if there's a couple hours when we can be back.
Yeah, I'm at a... You're flying that day.
I'm in Savannah at a... And, critical issues forum.
Are those by chance the return dates, 14th or 15th?
Options? I'm back. Yep, I'm there the 14th. I'm here. I've just got a morning event at like 8 o'clock till probably 9:30.
On the 14th?
On the 14th, yep.
I haven't looked at how long I'm following a return date based on lights. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, I'm fine.
Well, would the 15th work better, or does that not work for you, Julie?
No, the 14th works.
14th is better. I know that's clear right now, and I know I'll be here.
14th, I'm open. I needed to go the other way. So if we could go maybe afternoon.
Sure.
1 o'clock? Early,
yeah.
Well, okay. Okay, so it's the 14th. Let's hold off on the time. So next is the chili feed. And I mean, the dates we've talked about all, I was going to also throw out as possibility for that. I don't know if we'd want to do them both. If you didn't want to have it before, you wouldn't want to do it at noon then. So that's probably not an option. Does January 30th 14th
work or not at noon?
I just said later, I mean, not at 9, so just do noon.
Yeah, let's do the chili feed on 14th.
Now, one negative of that, I was also going to throw out January 30th on the chili feed if we wanted it to be done before the Super Bowl. Sometimes we've played games about,
Oh, right.
Betting on the Super Bowl.
That would work for me, too, actually. The 30th.
The 30th. Would that be a better
day? Which is next week.
Sherry, I know it's pretty quick, but... Okay, so
I'll be back. I mean, at 1, I can still
sample.
Huh? Can still sample. I don't want you to miss it.
Okay, sorry.
So we can revolve all of our games around eating chili on Valentine's Day lunch.
Mm-hmm. We have to make chili with a Valentine cream somehow. Or ingredient.
Heart. A heart so, healthy chili.
So yeah. We'll have the chili feed on the 14th. Figure out that's at 11:30 or 12 or whatever. And then should we push our director's meeting? We want to leave a little time for folks to clean up there and stuff. So I don't know, what time do you think is best, 1:30 or 2? Or
I think 1:30 is good. Yeah. I don't like to drag. I don't think we should drag it out too long. It's just, it has to be all-encompassing. Good. When I saw Chili Feed on there, I was like, oh, I'm so happy. I thought it was going to go away. I was afraid it was going to go away. And I've got a new chili I'm going to bring.
But is it chili?
It is chili, as have all of mine been. Despite what certain members of the 13th floor say.
Okay, I don't have anything else on scheduling, do either of you?
No, I don't.
Okay, we are adjourned.